Good morning, friends. We again come to you, and we are studying these days in the book of Ephesians, and we come now to the last chapter of this amazing epistle. We've been dealing with the walk of the believer in the unity of the Spirit, in the power of a new creation, walking in love even as He loved us, to walk in the light because God is light, and then we walk in wisdom. And you remember that the wise believer is the one who understands the will of the Lord, who walks carefully, who redeems the time, and who is a Spirit-filled believer. It's the points of a wise believer. And then we walk in submission. And we were dealing in our last lessons on the relationship between husbands and wives in chapter 5. Now we continue this question of relationship. And when we come to chapter 6, I would like to read from verse 1 down through verse 9, those first 9 verses, where we have the relationship manifested between parents and children and between masters and servants. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, and here I take them to be bond slaves, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord, and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And you masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. And as we have had in chapter 5, this wonderful relationship between husbands and wives, now we come to the question of the relationship between parents and children. Now the division of this portion from chapter 5, 22 to 6, 9, is dealing with the believer walking in submission. And hence, when we come to parents and children, it's very obvious that the Spirit of God has laid down the relationship between the two. And he takes up, first of all, children. Children are to obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right. And that under the law of Moses, the one who honored father and mother was blessed of the Lord, and they lived long on the earth. It was the first commandment given to them with only a promise. I oftentimes think of that when I think of our Savior. You remember in the Gospel through Luke chapter 2, Joseph and Mary had gone up to Jerusalem with Jesus when he was a boy at 12 years of age. He was going to be now a son of the law, child under the law. In other words, the time had come when he must stand upon his own feet under the law of Moses, recognized as a son of the law. And you remember they went back and left him in Jerusalem. They thought that he was somewhere in the crowd with their friends and relatives. They couldn't find him, so they went back to Jerusalem. And they found him sitting in the midst of the doctors in the temple, asking and answering questions. Which, by the way, was a common thing. The elders of Israel would sit, and they were asked questions, and they would answer the questions. And our Lord, as a boy, 12 years of age, went in there and asked questions and answered questions. And he astounded them with his knowledge of the things of God. And do you remember how Mary rebuked her son for this and how she said, "Don't you know that I must be about my father's business?" And then the amazing statement was that he went back to Nazareth with them and was subject unto them. Do you ever stop to think of this? that the Savior, who had just astounded the doctors of the law in Israel, went down with them to Nazareth and was subject unto them. And you remember, if I may quote from that verse, his mother kept all these sayings in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Obedience always brings its reward. I've oftentimes thought about this. Sometimes our boys and girls of this generation have the attitude to know more about things than their fathers and mothers. And yet our Savior, a boy at 12 years of age, was subject unto Joseph and Mary, and was until he was 30 years of age. You hear nothing more of him until he's 30 years of age, when he came out and was baptized by John and went unto his public ministry, subject to his parents. And I said a moment ago that obedience always brings its reward. I am sure of one thing, that if we Christian parents were to instruct our children on this question of obedience, it always brings a reward. God will see to that. And the exhortation is, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father, honor your mother. This is the first commandment with promise, the recognition of father and mother as being not only the object of your affection and devotion, but also obedience. We said in the preceding lessons concerning the father in Ephesians 5 that the father, the husband, is the head of the home. He's the head of the wife. He's in the place of responsibility. And God holds the father responsible for the family. And the children are to be obedient unto their parents and to honor their parents because of who they are and because of what they are. And now he says a word about the fathers. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. In other words, don't stir them up. Don't rile them. And may I suggest something? And I've seen this so often. Please don't take out your anger upon your child. Someone has well said that a parent should not chasten the child in anger, because you go beyond that which you originally had planned to do. Chastisement is very needful. There's no question about this. One only needs to read the book of Proverbs to realize that this is so. God expects us to chasten our children, but not to do it in anger, and not to stir them up, and not to rile them. I thank the Lord, and I give a personal testimony here. I thank the Lord, and have for many years, I've thanked the Lord numbers of times, that I had a father and a mother who chastened me. I oftentimes told my mother later on in years that she raised me on the end of her slipper. And she could put that, give me a crack with that slipper, have it back on her foot before the first yell got out. Of course, practice makes perfect. It never did me any harm. It was a good thing for me. I'm sure it's good for your children. So we have this relationship between parents and children, for the child to obey the parents in the Lord, for this is right. And it brings great reward. And remember the Lord Jesus, the eternal Son of God, when he took his place in the human family, was subject unto his father and mother. And I believe right on down through his teen years, from 12 years of age on, he was subject to his parents. Oh, in some way I wish I could bring this into the hearts of our young people and into the hearts of our parents. I think sometimes the parents are responsible for the disobedience of the children. And I do believe that we have a tremendous responsibility as parents before God to train our children, if need be, to chasten them, but not to rile them, not to do it in anger. As somebody has well said, you count ten before you strike them first. My mother didn't get a chance to count ten. And then you have in verses 5 to 9, servants and masters. And this is a rather remarkable thing. In verses 5 to 8, You'll notice how much time he gives to the servants. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. For with good will doing service as to the Lord, and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond, whether he be a bondservant, or a free servant. Just a word here about this. Now, I think it's apropos at this time. It's no honor to the Lord when Christians do not serve correctly, do not give their all to the job they have. And if you don't like your wages, then quit your job. But if you give your time, you take a job, they tell you what the wages are, then you give the best for those wages. And do it as unto the Lord. Now here is a new motive for service. You serve the Lord Christ primarily, even in the job you do. You say, I don't like my job. That's neither here nor there. You've got a job. You do it as unto the Lord. And the new motive is that God will repay you. It says here, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or whether he be free. In other words, Lord will take care of the reward of it if you do it as unto the Lord. Now, I tell you, my friend, even though they may not give you what you think you ought to get for the job you're doing, if you're doing it as unto the Lord, you'll have joy in doing it, you'll have blessing in doing it, and you'll receive praise from men because you've done a good job. And even though they do not pay you enough, God will see to it that your reward will be there. If you're doing it unto the Lord. You see, there are more rewards than just dollars and cents. There's a real thrill in doing a good job. I know what I'm talking about. I spent many of my early days in a machine shop. I was a tool and die maker, a machinist, a business. It's a real thrill, a real joy, a real pleasure to do a good job and do it right. There's pleasure to this. Now, if I was worrying about my wages and worrying about the job, there's no joy in that. That becomes a chore. But if I do my job as unto the Lord, irrespective of how much you think you should get, the Lord will take care of you and reward you. Now, I've just got to stop there this morning. And I want to start in the next lesson on our warfare. I do want to say a word about the relationship between masters and servants. But for this morning, I want to leave this with you. Let us before God live our lives that will be found pleasing to Him, bring glory to Him. It'll bring joy and blessing to you. And the Lord bless you for His name's sake.